It's Mike Shope.
This guy's a real jerk.
And the Bulldog.
I'm sort of anal retentive, OCD kind of whack job.
On WGR.
I just checked. Was this a mistake? I just checked the
Probably
reverse.
It was you.
I don't even know what it is yet.
No.
Was it a mistake that you thought a credenza was? No, never mind. We just been spending the last 15 minutes talking about what we think a credenza is. I talked to Trista today, off the air, and she like apparently is into restoring furniture and selling it. And she used the word credenza, which I just couldn't be like, what's that?
So you didn't, but I took a guess.
Yeah.
And I was off by.
You were off.
I was off. I mean,
I did not take a guess, but I would have been off had I taken a guess.
Yeah.
It's like this big, wide dining room thing with drawers.
Yeah.
There's got to be something about it that makes a credenza a credenza. Just don't ask me what that is.
I don't know.
Ask Trista.
But I think I found out that I have a credenza.
Yeah, I think I do too.
In my dining room. I think I. Yeah.
What a great day.
Right.
We both have credenzas.
And my wife, I mean, she doesn't flip this stuff anywhere, but she, we had this stuff that was sort of, 80s looking finish on it. Like just not our vibe at all for what we would want, and it just was in the dining room for years. It kind of matched our dining room table. And so, okay, fine. But my wife got really just annoyed by the way the stuff looked. So she sanded it down and refinished and painted it in this sort of antique white distressed style that makes it look, like something not from the 80s. It makes it look like something maybe from the 1880s, which it definitely is not. But that credenza has what I believe is called a hutch on top of it. That
okay.
is tall, like taller than me, sitting on the credenza.
I know a hutch.
Credenza is about waist high, I'd say maybe, and then the hutch is head high for me, and that's got just doors on it, and we keep the fancy plateware and stuff in there for when we have a big Thanksgiving party.
You're saying a lot right here.
Yeah, and the credenza's mostly become there's just junk in it.
Yep.
It's not really related to party throwing or the dining room really itself. There's just a bunch of junk in the drawers. Every time I need a AA battery.
Maybe it's in there.
Check one of the drawers on the credenza. Not that I've ever called it a credenza, but now I will.
You say what? The table in the dining room.
I would just call the whole structure the hutch.
Okay.
Well, not really realizing that the bottom part had a different designation.
Well,
but I feel like I've learned something.
We've all just learned a lot.
Yeah, I feel good about that. So now I can, with a lot of pleasure and maybe even some mystery, when the kids say, hey, where's this thing? And I'll say, maybe look in the credenza.
I think we should all do that.
And they'll go, what's the credenza? I'm like, you don't know what a credenza is?
Weren't you listening?
What kind of a job did I do raising you? Everyone knows what a credenza is.
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
So.
What I was going to say I was just checking the reverse AFC power rankings earlier, just wandering around the spacious studio in which we work. And there it is posted on the wall, as usual. Denver is number 7. What is going on? Did that seem wrong? Did that seem right? I've been into Denver a little bit, but last week I was put in my place.
They don't belong in a playoff spot.
They're playing a team tonight that is, their entire offense is injured. And they're favored by 3.
Yeah.
Against a team of backups.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm a little bit carried away there.
Yeah.
But.
Well, sometimes it just falls that way. I won't cop to having forgot about Denver. Unless maybe I'm guilty of, because I have the standings open while we do this. And they're high enough up because they're 3-2 going into tonight, are they not?
They're 3-3 now.
3-3. Okay, sorry. So they're not at the bottom. They're sort of in. They're sort of in the mix around.
They're in the hunt.
Yeah. So I might have not thought about them lower because their record is better than so many teams.
I'd like to take a temperature check on the AFC because for a long time it's been just how deep it is, right? I mean, if not, maybe that's not the right word. I mean, elite teams, the Bills, obviously, Kansas City, Baltimore, maybe Houston. There are teams at the top. Is Denver like a playoff team? The Chargers, the Steelers, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Colts?
Somebody's going to have to be in the playoffs besides the Bills, Texans, Chiefs, and Ravens.
Three teams.
Right. I'm not sure who those are going to be right now.
Is it? Remember that one day we did the Super Wild Card Weekend matchups and like got the standings out and set it all up? Yeah. Now the NFC was incredible. Like the matchups were, I have it right here. It was Washington, Dallas, Atlanta, Tampa, Seattle, Detroit. I mean, division rivalries. Seattle, Detroit always put up 70, 80 points. Like that, and Minnesota up top. The AFC, though, and this would probably be the same now. The Bills were the 4 seed. This was maybe last week.
They still are.
Okay. Houston against the Chargers, Baltimore against Denver. There's Denver. And Buffalo against Pittsburgh. This was last week what the playoffs would have been, I believe, last week. Because there's only one page back in my notebook. So that's still about the case.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean?
I think it means that, at least as of now, Cincinnati's kind of a fly in this whole mess, too. For, like, thinking about these mediocre teams, like, somebody's going to have to make it. The Bengals probably belong more with the group that is at the top four that we rattled off there.
We're not still in reverse mode.
No.
Okay, good. Let's keep it that way.
I think the Bengals are, even though they are, you know, like 12th in the conference right now at 2-4, I would guess that they unseat Pittsburgh before it's all over, and that, like, so they get out of there. But then I don't know what else. Like, maybe this is what, you know, I'm so hard on the Jets making it. But there's a bunch of mediocrity beyond the top, I think. Beyond, again, I'll put the Bengals there. Maybe there's two spots in the AFC right now that are going to go to teams that I would expect have no shot at winning the Super Bowl. They would just be sacrificed on wild card weekend.
The Chargers are at least one team that reflects this point in the odds. I told Joe Ostrowski, who'll be on later, that I was hoping we could get into some of these yes or no to make the playoffs, you know, options. Mm-hmm. The Chargers are -175 to make it. Are they 4-2? What are they? 3-2.
3-2.
They have had a bye, I guess, then.
Yeah.
So 3-2. And I think if you just think about that in a vacuum, wow. Like, really? Even before the season, was this the thought before the season? No. I would say no. The Jets were a top contender. So were the Bengals. The Dolphins were kind of up there.
Mm-hmm.
None of these AFC West teams or even South teams, maybe Jacksonville a little bit, maybe Cleveland a little bit. Before the season, I don't think, I mean, the Chargers were about even money, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And that seemed a little bit ambitious to me.
I agree. I would tell you that there's still plenty of time for this to land this way. I felt like the Chargers would be in a sort of like, sure, we're putting our best foot forward, nod, nod, wink, wink. We're just, you know, we're starting over with Jim Harbaugh, and so this will just be kind of an adjustment year, and then we'll, like, try to fill things out more with, once I get to know who I've got and who I like and who I want to replace and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, look, Sean McDermott made the playoffs in his first year with a team that hadn't been in the playoffs in 17 years. So Jim Harbaugh could certainly take the Chargers with Justin Herbert as their quarterback to a playoff spot.
Plus, it was harder then.
Yeah, but I'm not exactly. I wouldn't bet on them to make it yet.
Would you bet on them to not? Because you should, if you would. Based on the odds, like, that's a bet you should make.
Yeah.
I mean, here's another one.
I think I would. Right? I don't think they're one of the 7 best teams in the AFC.
Okay, and of course you're entitled to that. I just don't, like, who are the 7 best teams in the AFC is kind of the point.
Yep.
And I think I might have to say yes. The Bengals, okay. Like, the odds are the other way on the Jets, even more so on Miami. Miami is 2-3, and they're getting Tua back. Somebody's going. I mean, Pittsburgh is going. With that lead, 4-2,
mm-hmm.
It's not. You can't be a lock. I mean, even the Bills aren't even a lock.
I think maybe I'll go do something with, like, if they're still, now that the season's going, you can you still do, like, I don't shop around in this stuff much at all. Like, I throw stuff on games on Sundays and do some hockey stuff during the week, and, like, that's really it. I don't look at the futures once the once the games are going. I don't. But so I'm going to ask. I mean, I could look, but maybe you know. Can you still bet on the exact order of finish in divisions at this point?
I don't know.
Like, if you could, I would bet on Baltimore and Cincinnati both. I mean, Baltimore's ahead of Pittsburgh as it is right now. I would anticipate Pittsburgh finishing third in that division and missing the playoffs. I think the Bengals will catch them, pass them, and beat them out for a spot.
Pittsburgh to make the playoffs at BetMGM, minus 145. Cincinnati to make the playoffs, plus 115. They might be the team closest to the middle. Denver is plus 225. I bet that a couple weeks ago. It wasn't that high either. They lost. The Charger game was costly to them. I guess this is a reflection of that. Also that they're Denver.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, if we dare to think like this, which I, you know, you do you. But if you put the Bills in at, say, 11 wins, first place, home field, not the one seed, though, they're playing one of these guys, which would be like the fifth year in a row.
It's like last year, playing the Steelers.
It's every year.
Yeah.
They have been a solid favorite at home. Think of the quarterbacks.
Phillip Rivers with Indianapolis that first year in 20. Second year is that
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones and the Patriots. That's the perfect game. And then you've got Skylar Thompson with Miami the following year. And then last year, of course, was Mason Rudolph and the Steelers. Right?
Right. And, like, the Bills were big favorites last year and against Miami. Not huge against New England. They lost to New England at home.
That year.
That season.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they were big favorites against Indianapolis. I mean, Rivers is in a different class than those guys, but he's older. Is that the last game of his career?
Yeah, I don't think he played again after that.
So it kind of looks like we could be headed there again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I know, like, how big a story that would be if, you know, the division winners should be better than at least most of the wild card teams. Sometimes you get that bad division winner who's an underdog at home in one of these games, but it does kind of feel like that's the direction here. I mean, it starts with, I said a lot the last couple of days, you have to be at least relieved, if not impressed, with excited about where the Bills are right now, with or without Amari Cooper, but especially, I would say, for me, with that. They made it through that stretch of night games and road games, three in a row, the injuries they've had, and are a game and a half up with the Dolphins and Jet road games behind them, both wins.
Yep.
Like, it looks good. It would be different if the Dolphins or the Jets even had just one more win. If the Dolphins had beaten Tennessee, you know, we might take them a little bit more seriously, 3-2. You do have the Bills' dominance over them factoring into that as well. Like, I don't think anybody's ever, like, too worried about Miami.
Sure. I mean, I have a hearty respect for them, but I don't know. Like, these games between now and when Tua actually gets back on the field for them, which I've come to realize is, like, it's going to happen in some way, shape, or form.
It could be next week.
Then I think even one more win for them. Like, if they can get to 500, who do they have this week?
Colts.
If they can find a way to do enough on offense to get that game, then to me they're alive. Like, Tua comes back and he's Tua, you know. Although it wasn't going great with him. I mean, but that's really the it was only two games. I mean, it's the Bills game.
Game and a half.
Okay, game and a half, right. So it's not like there's a huge sample there. And so, yeah, maybe they revert to being, you know, what they've been with him, which is a team that is to be, you know, respected offensively. But the Bills have their number, so I'm not ever really going to feel like I'm going to worry about Miami.
Well, there is a big four right now in the conference. One in each division, as it happens. The Steelers deserve some respect, too. I mean, hello, we're in the playoffs every year. Hi, we're 4-2. Hi.
Right. Changing quarterbacks, but hi.
Changing quarterbacks, and I think I could even justify it. Because It's just they're not that good.
Right.
Fields has not been that good, but they are 4-2. That's what makes it controversial, is that they won by 19 points or something last week. When does a quarterback get pulled after that? You know,
I read that without an injury. Man, I don't have the year here, and I don't think I can find it. But it's almost unprecedented that a quarterback, a starting quarterback, healthy, going into week 7 with that record, didn't start the 7th game. Like,
right.
It just does not happen. Like,
right.
You're,
why would it?
You're having a good season, and this, you know, this guy's helped you do it. Well, you know, even if it's an injured established starter,
that's the one scenario where it would happen.
Right, and Wilson is not really that anymore.
If the Bills got to 4-2 with Trubisky and Allen was healthy right now for the first time, who starts?
He's going back in immediately.
So in that scenario, that would happen. But I guess that hasn't happened very often.
Yeah. Again, I don't know. I don't want to say it's all time, but it's a lot of years is what I read. And I'm sorry I didn't memorize it.
Talking about this on a podcast this week, I thought of Flutie. Like how the Bills would win games with Flutie, but it was, geez, is he good though? That's Justin Fields. You know, they're winning. Who are they? These are our old conversations that we have to dust off.
Like, how does it
who
look?
Who are you playing? How does it look? I mean, 9 completions. Just, you can't win in the, but you can't win in the playoffs. But how good is the other guy? He's improving. This. That's a really good one. And it's still not, like, remember Ross on Tuesday said, I don't believe the Steelers with Wilson. And they're still, like, couching it.
Yeah.
In consideration. He's in consideration to start this week.
Yeah,
it makes fantasy tricky.
I caught this thing a couple weeks ago on Sunday Night Football where Tony Dungy, who I believe is very tight with Mike Tomlin, was just raving on a pregame show. It was the week that they had all that extra time, too. I don't know if that played a part in him talking like this. But with the delay of the game, wherever that was.
Pittsburgh,
thank you.
Yeah.
Of course, that's why he would have been talking to Mike Tomlin. Yeah, it was the Dallas game. And, you know, I'm being told Wilson is, you got to see him throwing the ball in practice. It just looks fantastic. And I thought, that's from Tomlin. Like, he's itching to get Wilson back in. But the weird thing about it is, like, usually a coach feels that from the team in some way, right? Like, why do you take out a guy who's won 4 of 6 games? It's because the guys are watching him in practice, like Tony Dungy maybe, and like, oh, he really throw it. He's really spinning it. And this other guy is either not, maybe he's not hurting you, because I don't think Fields is really hurting them with mistakes, but he's leaving plays on the field. And you can find that stuff out there where he just doesn't process well. He's not a fully formed, even after all this time. I'm going to say all this time in the league. I mean, he's had a lot of action, Fields, and he's not really gotten the processing part down yet. He looks very, I think, a lot of times confused. So that could all be playing a part in, you know, guys on the team are watching closely and they think the other guy's better. But I don't know. I mean, 4-2 is 4-2, you know? And Wilson has got such an odd reputation to begin with. It's hard for me to believe that the players really want Wilson, and that's why Tomlin's doing it. And that makes it odd to me. Even odder than it is, irrespective of anything I just said.
I can't figure any of it out. I never thought Tomlin wanted Russell Wilson to be his starting quarterback. I think he was probably relieved that he was injured. It gave him a chance to... I mean, Arthur Smith, too. It gave them the chance to do that. What I think can be said positively about it is if you do, this like almost also never happens, but if you do start Wilson for a stretch of games, they go Jets, Giants the next two. I mean, I don't know what the spread is this week. They'll definitely be favored against the Giants. Chance for 6-2 going to the bye, whatever. You get a few games and you have both. Then you have been able to see both. How are we better? They don't have that answer with Wilson yet because he's not played. It's just practice. So you'd like to have that. You'd like to know. Mm-hmm. So many of these are light bulbs, like the Flutie Johnson light bulbs for me. You know, you might like to see what – you might like to have seen what Rob Johnson starting really looked like before going into the playoffs.
Right.
In addition to just one throwaway last game of the season that didn't matter.
Right.
That's what the Bills did.
Yep.
Like, he played one game at the end of the season. He started games the year before, but that was never his season in 99. He goes in for the
The playoff meaning, game.
Meaningless
no,
game.
The Indianapolis finale and throws for 300 yards or something.
Yeah, he's amazing. And imagine that happening. Like, that is just incredible.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you did this and you had the foresight, let's see, you know, we're good, but we think we could be better. And, well, you want to – this just fans the flames of the controversy stuff, but that didn't – that wasn't a problem anyway. Like that, and that's the same here.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has a take on what they're doing.
So. I see the Jets as 2.5-point favorites.
No respect.
In Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's 4-2. The Jets are 2-4. They did just trade for Devontae Adams, and maybe, you know, their season's on the line again.
It kind of feels like it's funny that Tomlin and McDermott are linked by their past the way they are, because they both just don't get enough credit. There's always some other reason why they win. Or
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They're not that good. Steelers are never that good. They're just always in the playoffs.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Denver tonight. The top seven. Bottom seven, sorry, in the reverse.
Despite how it looks right now, the Chargers are in a playoff spot as we sit here. So is Indianapolis, by the way. I don't think anybody from the AFC West is getting in besides KC. I would bet that all day long.
That save that for Joe.
All those teams miss.
Chargers, I think it was plus 140 to miss. Look at the schedule, too. I don't know the schedule. That might tell you something. It does tell you something.
Probably
who they're
does.
Playing.
Yes.
It tells you who they're playing.
That's what the schedule
and
is.
When.
For.
And when. All right. Sal Capaccio next. I want to talk to Sal. We'll get an injury update. Also, Amari Cooper on the practice field today, wearing number 18. And maybe a little bit on Ray Davis and what he might have earned on Monday night with his performance. Sal next. Then Joe Ostrowski at 4, BetQL Daily. And all the way to 6 o'clock for Sabres pregame. How do they follow up last night? Tonight in Columbus, Paul Hamilton will set things up for us just like last night. 6 o'clock for a 7:05 faceoff. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back with Sal next. This is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. The Bills have 16 players listed on their latest injury report just out in the last few minutes. But, Sal, maybe is it overall good news?
Yeah. Rarely do you see 16 players and say, they're pretty healthy, guys. But that's the case, because out of the 16, only one is a DNP, and even that is due to partly vet rest day. Yes, there's a foot injury attached to that with Daquan Jones, but it's foot/vet rest, so that pretty much lets you know that he should be okay. He'd probably be practicing if it wasn't the case. You know, we'll see tomorrow. But, guys, I mean, full participant for James Cook, that's obviously really good news. So, yeah, I would say this is as healthy as the Bills have been since week one. And even in week one, Taron Johnson went down with an injury.
And speaking of Taron Johnson, he and Bernard, who've been working their way back, are still limited. But that's just, I imagine, being cautious. Like, there's nothing new there, I'm hoping.
No, because they're listed with the same injuries.
Right.
Bernard, pectoral, and let me find him, Taron Johnson for him. So same injuries, and they were both wearing red jerseys today. So was Dalton Kincaid, as he appeared yesterday with the on the injury report and today again with the collarbone injury, and also Mac Hollins. So I would say so for sure. Like, it's a short week, guys, so I would think that has something to do with it. Like, hey, it's a quick turnaround. Let's just be really as cautious as we can as these guys go through practice.
I want to get to that Ray Davis was added today. That's a new name from yesterday, and talk about him for a minute. Just, one more injury report question in terms of, like, the protocol, Sal. Like, Allen is still on it. He's been playing. Practiced in full yesterday. Yesterday's a walkthrough, but still. Today, too.
No glove today.
No glove. At what point can they just remove him?
At the point where he's not receiving any treatment whatsoever.
Okay, that's how that works. Okay.
So if you go to get any sort of treatment, even if you're full, you're limited, you have to be listed on the injury report. So if something's bothering you in any way, you know, and you go to the trainers and they just examine it, take a look at it, you should receive treatment in some way, you're good to go. You got to be listed on the injury report. So that's when they can remove him.
If we had an injury report, Bulldog, would we both be on it every day for something?
Yes.
Just like, oh, my hip.
I got some kind of soreness all the time.
Put it on the list.
Yeah. No, I haven't been 100% in 20 years. Let's not dwell on that. And once he's on it, like Allen, just a procedural follow-up to Mike's question, Sal, I hope you don't mind. Allen, like, if he didn't need to get any more treatment starting tomorrow, he'd still be on the injury report because he was on it Wednesday and Thursday? Is that right? Like, do guys drop off
they
it?
Would,
no. Right.
They would keep it on there, but you would see a full listed there, but
and that's it.
They might just put a dash, actually, is what you'd do. You'd see a dash because he basically didn't have any treatment, so there's nothing even there. He's off the injury report, right?
Okay.
So you'd see a dash there. So that's what that would mean, like kind of dropping off, but you have to kind of account for the previous 2 days.
Right. Sort of like Ray Davis in reverse, because yesterday he had no designation.
Yep.
There's a dash next to Wednesday there, recognizing it was a walkthrough, but whatever. Other guys have designations. But today, now limited with a calf, I hope that's not serious. I don't want to steal Mike's, line of questioning here, but...
Well, it seems like it would be something new.
It's definitely something new, I think. And there was a kind of a breakthrough for him on Monday night.
Yeah, for sure. And on top of that, remember a couple weeks ago with that Oliver guys, right? Like, he was listed with a hamstring and limited, and I told you I'd seen him during practice kind of being limited with the hamstring, but he went back into drills, said, so I didn't think anything necessarily was happening there. It could be possible he left with an injury. We found out the next day he left practice with an injury. So let's hope that's not the case here with Ray Davis. I will have Sean McDermott on at 10:45 or so tomorrow on the Extra Point Show. So I'll ask him, just like that week that happened with Ed Oliver, he revealed at that time, Ed left practice with an injury and then basically said he wasn't going to play or he was questionable at that point. So hopefully that's the case. That's not the case with Ray Davis. Hopefully it's just something that, he was receiving treatment on today.
So on Davis, he was very good on Monday night against the Jets. I'm sure you'd agree. What does it mean? Is it different now with the Bills at running back? And then I say that, and sometimes I'm critical of Cook, or not critical, just not as impressed as everybody else maybe. But I'm not coming at this from a standpoint like that he hasn't been effective for the Bills. He's been fine. But did Davis show enough, Sal, where you think he might play more?
More? Sure. I think I could see that. I don't think there's any way he's, kind of taking over. Now that you're suggesting it, Mike. Taking over the, lead role or cutting super far into James Cook. I do think you could see him play more than what he had been playing, because I think that could be situationally. Short yardage, goal line. Like, maybe we start to see him a little bit more there. But even, in regular situations, putting him out there, because I think trust is the word here you have to look at. You can trust him. He did a great job of holding onto the ball, physical, always falling forward, getting those tough yards. It's also a long season, and James Cook is coming off an injury this week, and you want to make sure he's healthy for the rest of the year. So I think with that trust, I think with what he's done, that kind of gets you more to a spot where, hey, when we have an opportunity, we can put him in the game, and that takes a little bit off James Cook as well. I don't think that's a negative on James Cook in any way. It's just showing that you have other options to, make sure that everybody stays fresh.
Yeah, mostly the pecking order, the way I've seen it anyway, and I don't have the snaps game to game right out in front of me, but I feel like Ty Johnson has been, I sort of expected Ty Johnson to get the game Ray Davis ended up having Monday night.
He started.
You're right. He was the first guy in, and he's been, I think, mostly the first guy in to spell Cook whenever Cook comes out, whether that, again, is tactical or Cook just needs a blow or whatever it is. I feel like Davis maybe at least sell past Johnson in that respect, and like he should be the first guy in, but again, that might be situational too. I think they like Johnson's speed to the edge. He's shown to be dependable as a receiver. Davis made that circus catch downfield, but we haven't really seen him in like a, you know, short passing game or just utilize the way Cook and or Johnson have been used. But I feel like Davis, if he's been behind Johnson, Monday night at least should change that, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and I think that the plan probably was at some point that this would happen with the two. That, yeah, they really like Johnson, but they drafted Ray Davis in the fourth round. They really like him as a fit in this offense, and this was the opportunity to use him. So, and Ty Johnson can also return kicks, plays a little bit more, you know, in that role. So I think that this might have been something they were going to get to eventually, but what you saw then on, you know, Monday night kind of gets you more fully there a little bit quicker, maybe.
I did like, you mentioned the falling forward, getting the extra yards. Yeah. I feel like Davis is, he's just a different style runner than Cook. Cook's a little more slippery and shifty, I'd say. And Davis, I love the battle. I think anyone who appreciates a running back who's going to be that physical, I think would agree. I mean, he just put everything in there. And as I say, Cook doesn't. It's just a different style is all. And, you know, it maybe just comes down to preference. And like you said, game situation, matchup, that kind of thing. Who knows? I mean, this is a team they're playing this Sunday in Tennessee with two just mountains of men in the middle of the defensive line. Maybe it's Ty Johnson and trying to test the edge a little bit more in this game. And Cook, too.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that last week, even though James Cook is, you know, your number one running back, and he's certainly dynamic, you never want to be without him. I thought last week was the kind of game where, you know, it sets up pretty well to have a guy like Ray Davis and a guy like Ty Johnson. They're both very hard runners, and you want to run straight at that defense. You know, don't want to give them an opportunity to catch you in the backfield. Don't want to give them an opportunity. They're going to penetrate on you. There's going to be some running lanes that are going to open because of that. You go straight ahead at them, and that's exactly what happened. Not a lot of room for dancing. So I thought last week was that opportunity. This week, it's another really tough matchup, guys. I mean, this is a really, really good defense they're facing in the Tennessee Titans. So, I mean, another a physical running back like James, like Ray Davis, like we just said, Ty Johnson. I think they could all have a role, and especially a game like this, like we just said, you know, you see what you saw last week in Monday night. You know, I think you're facing another really physical front. There's probably another opportunity here for Ray Davis to get some touches.
Just want to get sort of a broader perspective from you, Sal, on how the Bills sit here at 4-2. I mean, we've talked about it every day, so there's no need for me to go on about just what's happened already. But respecting these points about the Titans, for me, a line was drawn after the Jet game. Like, that was a chunk of the season, the three road games in a row, four in prime time out of six, all of that. And they really came out of it fine. I mean, a game and a half up, and with the road wins over the Dolphins and the Jets. Now, I mean, nobody wants to take the players, especially. They don't want to take games for granted, but it looks like they've come out of a tunnel here a little bit.
I agree with that. I mean, look, let's go back, you know, to, I understand that, you know, you want certain things back, and you say, well, they shouldn't have lost that game or this game, and how they looked against Houston and what happened at the end of the game. We can always debate, like, how they gave one away. There's no doubt. But, man, if you look at the schedule to start the season and you say, first six games, look at that, could you take 4-2, which I'm sure we talked about here? No doubt, right? I mean, like, 4-2 coming out of that stretch, looking at the next four games, looks mighty appetizing. And if you think about the two games they lost, sure, it's going to hurt them in the standings. They're two AFC games, but there's no shame in losing to those two teams, right, on the road, at Baltimore on a Sunday night, at the Houston Texans, and C.J. Stroud and, you know, the team that they've put together. So I like this, and I agree with you, Mike. Like, even going back to the Amari Cooper trade, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, how well the Bills kind of overestimated what they had at wide receiver, and maybe that's true. Like, we can go back to all the stuff we talked about, and hey, maybe they shouldn't have said, we're going to be fine with Josh Allen and all these guys, and they had to kind of pivot. Maybe that's the case. I'd also tell you there's another side to that, which is if that was the case, they still got through this at 4-2, and look where they are right now. Right. So they could also tell you, hey, it worked out pretty good, actually.
We were talking earlier about the AFC with Denver playing tonight. Looked at the reverse AFC power rankings from Tuesday, and Denver came in at 7, and it feels different. And this always happens, I suppose, but you think you have an idea how tough a schedule will be or how good the conference will be. Before the season, Dolphins, Jets, Bengals, maybe one or two other teams, they're not as good as I might have guessed before the season, and that can change again. But right now, I think there's a big four in the AFC, Sal, the four division leaders, although the Steelers are also tied for first, and I'm not including them. But I think right now, if I had to guess, I'm looking at another first-round home game against a team that, you know, the Bills are probably favored to beat by 8.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. To me, it's been pretty much, Cincinnati's been a bit of a disappointment, but I still think they're a pretty good team. They're a very good offensive team. We'll see where their season's going to go from here because it's not looking good right now. I'm not a true believer in Pittsburgh. I have no idea what's happening there with the quarterback or why they're doing this. It just seems very odd and strange, whatever. But can you really see the Chargers threatening Kansas City? Not at this time. So what does that leave you with? Buffalo's clearly the head and shoulders team in the AFC East. Baltimore is, to me, in the AFC North, with all due respect to Pittsburgh's record right now. Houston is in the South, and Kansas City is. That's it, the four division leaders. I think you're right there. You guys know at the end of the year, Miami and the Jets play that last weekend, right? I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now and thinking it's very possible that game could come down to a final playoff spot between those two teams. I mean, who else is going to be in the mix? Think about the other teams. Cincinnati could be there, I guess. Mm-hmm. Denver could be there, I guess. But that's really it. Take the six teams that are in right now. Seven. Kansas City, Houston, Baltimore, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Indy. Yeah, you could have them. They're all going to be in the mix. I think Miami, I think the Jets, I think Denver's in there. So however it shakes out, you could have Miami and the Jets fighting for that last spot there. And maybe that's a team, maybe that's a game that ultimately determines who the Bills wind up playing at home, to your point of, okay, here we go. The Bills are going to be a touchdown favorite against whoever wins.
Thank you for indulging me on this. I know it's like 3 months away, but it's always fun to look at the standings.
It is, and I look right now and I say, like, I agree with you about Pittsburgh. Indy has the 7 seed right now.
Right.
Do we think Indy's really going to be there at the end? I don't.
I don't.
Based on what I've seen.
I think the Bengals are going to track down and pass the Steelers. Mm-hmm. The Ravens win that division. So I think the Steelers fall by the wayside, replaced by the Bengals. But after that, like, I don't know. That's where Miami and the Jets, I'm not a believer in the Jets. We'll see if Miami can, you know, get a win this week and then get Tua back. But I don't know where the other playoff spots are coming from. You know, like there's a bunch of teams that I just think are dead in the water. Even, you know, despite their records right now. Indy and Denver are two of them to me. I don't think they're going to get there.
No, I agree. And we'll find out. I mean, Denver tonight, they're playing the Saints. The Saints have a backup quarterback. They're without both Olave and Rashid Shaheed, right? Like, what's going to happen there? Denver's defense is already excellent. So I think Denver should have a really great chance to win tonight. And, you know, then Denver all of a sudden improves their record to 4-3. They're still sitting there in the mix. I think the best thing you hope for as Bills fans here is that both Denver and the Chargers kind of stay afloat here and give Kansas City a run for their money when they play them. It doesn't even have to be at the end of the year for record-wise. It's just when they play them, give them a couple more losses.
Yeah. All right, Sal, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Joe Ostrowski coming up in less than 20 minutes. The Sabres are in Columbus, coming off last night's exciting overtime loss. See how positive I can be?
Entertaining. Yep.
Overtime loss to the Penguins. Who loses that game?
This team.
The goalie gets run early. Like, who loses that game? Anyway, I was on a very positive stretch.
We know they scored too much early because Jari needed to stay in the game because he was a disaster. So I needed him to stay in.
They should have passed up the shot.
It was that third goal Paterka that did him in. Yeah.
He should not have shot that.
I agree.
We don't want to get too far ahead. All right. Well, it was positive there for a split second. Paul at 6 with the pregame show. Joe Ostrowski coming up too. 803-0550 to join us next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. I hope it was interesting to hear Sal sort of explain the injury report a little bit. I mean, it's kind of, to some it would be minutiae, but like, I don't know exactly or didn't know what the standard is to meet, to be listed. And he told us, if you're getting treatment, it makes me wonder, how is anybody not on the injury report after six games? Like, so there are like 50 players that are not getting any treatment, any special treatment?
Special treatment, specific to a problematic body part. Lots of guys probably get like physio and massage therapy and all that, but that's maybe just standard.
The general thing does not rise to the level of putting you on the injury report.
Right. But. Whereas with me, like if everything's sore, I mean, any work I'm going to be getting would be specific to an injury.
They would need...
Oh, my back, my knee, my calf, my thigh. Oh, God, I'm a wreck.
They would need a smaller font because they would have to fit all the different parts next to your name.
Well, you
can hand, just, leg, knee, elbow, shoulder, toe.
You just go with the musculoskeletal injury.
Just everywhere.
General body soreness, the old GBS.
And Bulldog is listed as questionable with an everything.
Right. Bulldog's on the injury report with old.
Yeah. Well, you can't blame a guy for that.
Attrition caused by age is what we've got here.
Sal mentioned Sean McDermott tomorrow morning. Short week, right? Monday Night Football. So Sunday at 1 against the Titans. Sal said that'll be around 10:45 tomorrow morning for McDermott. We'll break here and then bring on Joe Ostrowski to talk about Week 7, which opens tonight. Denver at New Orleans, you know, maybe this is one you can pass on. It's the first, I believe, non-division game of the prime schedule so far. Week 1 doesn't count, the NBC opener.
Right.
But Bills-Dolphins was the first Thursday Night Football on prime game of the year, and every game has been a division game. Last week, Tampa-Atlanta, which was incredible. Was that? No, 2 weeks ago.
San Francisco-Seattle.
San Francisco-Seattle, right.
That
was fine.
Yeah, Giants and Dallas was one of those too.
Yep.
So
Patriots Jets was another one. So they're all division games.
Yep.
Until this one. So we'll talk to Joe. The Sabres are in Columbus. Pregame at 6:00. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.